everyone. I'm Troy Dodds, and welcome to the On The Record podcast presented by The Western Weekender. On this podcast, I'm joined by special guests who all have such great stories to tell about Penrith and the role they've played in our city. They are Penrith stories told by Penrith people. Today, my special guest is Gay Hawthorne. Gay is the CEO of the Penrith CBD Corporation and has played a crucial role in both the business and community sector in Penrith. And I really hope you enjoy our chat. Gay, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
First question we always ask, where were you born and where did you grow up?
That many years ago, I was born in Bankstown and pretty much grew up the first couple of years down the south coast, but moved to St. Mary's in second class, so a long time ago.
Okay, and do you remember moving to St. Mary's, or still a bit too young to remember?
No, I do. It was Housing Commission, and there was hardly anyone in St. Mary's during that time.
All right, and what were you like as a school student, and what was growing up like in St. Mary's in that period?
Well, I actually, it was a really quiet city, but it was really just a really old-fashioned country town back then. Mm. We all got involved in everything together. I went to the Catholic school, so there was always lots going on. And then I did high school at Parramatta, so I had a lot of friends in the Parramatta area as well as Penrith area. Worked at the old Penrith Plaza as I grew up.
Jean shop.
So did that through studying and but I think, you know, we all travelled to the city when we had to do things and socialise back then. There wasn't much in the area.
Yeah.
Way back those days.
A little bit into what you do later on, of course. And absolutely. there was also a bit of a separation of Penrith and St. Mary's in those days. We've had a few guests on before. Now it seems like it's a stone's throw away, and I mean, whatever. But a bit of separation in those days. St. Mary's was kind of its own world.
100%. I think St. Mary's just... my mum worked at the local chemist for 32 years, and I remember when we had our twins, I think I got 64 pairs of booties from all the customers that worked in the store. But St. Mary's was, it was like if you got the opportunity and you could come up to the movies, which used to be the real old-fashioned ones above Tattersall's back in the day, before that in Lawson Street, and basically that was a big trip out to the Big Smoke, Penrith.
Actually, talking of those movie theatres, spoke to someone who was an usher there a little while ago, actually, and he lives in Queensland now, and he prompted me to go up and have a look in there, and the general structure of it and the rooms, the separate rooms, which were the two cinemas, all still standing. A lot of Penrith's past is still there, hidden away.
I know it is. It's changing, but some things are still around, which is wonderful.
All right, so you mentioned working in a bit of retail through your teenage years. Penrith Plaza, what was Penrith Plaza like then compared to now?
It was tiny, it was really tiny. So the new plaza opened, the Westfield, when I was actually pregnant with the twins in 1992, so I remember that well. But we didn't really have much. I think it was an old Grace Brothers, and I worked for the Jean Company. They're called Just Jeans, but before that was Jean Junction, which is way back. That was the cool shop to work at.
And at that point, did you kind of know what you wanted to do? Were you just getting by, just getting some extra money doing jobs? Are you someone who always knew I want a particular career in a particular area?
I love to organise, and so I went into being an EA straight away.
Yep.
And my dad was a builder, local builder. He built Lino Golf Club back in the day.
Okay.
But he also, said, if you want to do something, you've got to go out there and make an effort. And I think that was the good value. So I've gone back and made that effort. So, and I was blessed. I actually met a company out the back of Mulgrave, which was called Rescreate Industries. And they owned the Light and Sound record shops back in the day. Mm-hmm. And he was chairman of Westmead Hospital. So he took me on a ride and taught me a diverse amount of opportunities. Here's a computer, use it. And courses came from that point.
Okay. You mentioned having twins there in the early 90s.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that. They were your first kids.
That's right.
So a bit of a shock to be told you're having twins, I'm guessing.
I know. I thought, busy people can cope with twins. I worked at Rudy Hill RSL for many years at night as well. And so I was quite used to being up late.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Ben and Jake came along in 1992. They're 32 this year. And then basically from that point, I'm a grandmother. thanks to those wonderful boys, got the Disney girl twins. Then I met Derek and we married in 2010, and he has a beautiful daughter, Libby. And so now I've got three children.
Well, we'll get to Derek and your very large wedding a little bit later. But in that early 90s period as well, you, I guess, take a pretty big career step, particularly in Penrith, and you start working with Panthers. So how does that come about? This is an interesting time in Panthers history because just won the grand final in 1991. So Penrith kind of awakes from its sporting slumber and the club awakes from its slumber. But yeah, tell us about joining Panthers and what your role was there.
Well, I virtually had the twins in 92 and then got bored. I mean, who does that? So I thought I'll go back and I'll temp. So through Penrith personnel back in the day, I temped. Did a couple of weeks at Clarendon Homes. Pepsi on Huntingwood was a brand new building down there, and did Bon Jovi tour and Michael Jackson tour. So and then Panthers came up and they said, we're building a new football stadium, area they're going to move. They were in the back of the old Penrith swimming when ICE first started, and they were just working on the master plan and what they were going to do with the club.
So they built the first section.
And then they were building on from that. And that's where it kind of started. So I went in as a temp, and about 12 months later, Roger Cowan said, I think we better employ you. So I got the job in marketing and events, and pretty much that was it. Nearly close to 12 years before I retired.
Yeah, of course, Panthers had moved to that site in the 80s, but you know, it was that sort of early 90s when it really started to expand. And I think anyone in Penrith at that time remembers the, you know, development of the water park and all of that sort of stuff around where Panthers did become that whole world of entertainment concept. What was Roger Cowan like to work with?
Awesome. He was such an amazing man. He was a great boss, but he also believed that everyone needed to experience as well as learn. So you'd be trips to Las Vegas, you would be involved in making sure that you had the back of house tours at different events and venues throughout the city. But he was always a strong and hard guy to work for, but very fair as far as giving you opportunity.
And what about you were a Panthers, I think, for 10 or 11 years. So what are the sort of the biggest memories there in terms of things you were involved in creating?
Well, you'd think I'd say the grand finals, but it was probably John Farnham. So I'd say for Panthers, 2003, so we just won the grand final, and that was just insane. And then the opportunity, I was involved in the planning side of it, which was amazing. And then from that point, we had just opened Krispy Kreme,
which I actually did
3 years. I used to be their events person and opened all the other Krispy Kremes with them. So I did that on the side. But yeah, I'd say John Farnham's, it was called The Last Tour, which wasn't his last tour. We all know that story. But yeah, that was exciting, you know.
And at that time, I guess Panthers, and still largely is, but Panthers was the place to go in Penrith. So it was pretty crazy times through the 90s.
Without a doubt. I can remember Melbourne Cup days, and we'd start with, you know, radio promotions, and we'd fly someone down in a helicopter to Melbourne Cup, and the day just progressed from there, and budgets were high for whatever we did, and the crowds were strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned Krispy Kreme there. So first Krispy Kreme in Australia, of course, in 2003. We all remember those lines for the dance that went nuts. So yeah, hard to believe now that we all did it, but we all did it. We all lined up for hours and did all of that.
They were crazy. I think I was their events person out locally, and they said, this is the, you know, get real, people will queue. And I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
They opened on the 19th of June on a Thursday night, and the Tuesday night we put a security guard on because we thought we better.
Yeah.
And this family came in the middle of winter to Penrith with a newborn baby and a three-year-old and virtually camped in the car park. Which we hence put them up in the restaurant, in the McCure Hotel, because we were worried. But they got their first, you know, year supply of donuts. That's all they wanted.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a promotion there.
Yeah. It was crazy. So, and the traffic was insane. If everyone remembers.
What prompts you to leave Panthers in the end?
I'd been there in kind of, you know, after grand final and John Farnham what else was there?
Yeah.
And I needed a challenge. And so Richard Eastmead at The Good Guys poached me. And I was like, I'm not going to sell a toaster.
Yeah. This is where we first met, of course. Absolutely. When you were the marketing manager at The Good Guys.
Yeah. Marketing and community. So learn a lot through retail going down to Melbourne and being involved in their programs. And then virtually worked there 7 years working in and doing what I'm passionate about, which was the community side. So,
and this is where Good Guys is at this point located on in the CBD?
They're in Henry Street. Henry Street. So they owned that block down there, and that was huge at the time. So used to have queues around the corner for their VIP sales, but we added a touch of the Panthers, I think, inside with Richard was a super creative guy and knew what he was doing. And unfortunately, he left after about 7 years and sold the business and moved on.
It was an interesting period because that's, retail, that sort of big retail outlet at that time was just massive. You know, obviously you have your Harvey Normans and your Domains, but The Good Guys was that other player in that world. And as you say, just lines and just really crazy times.
It was.
Just before or just as the online world is starting, but the online world at that point is not really a competitor.
No, it wasn't. It was down to who the people were and cash. It was all about cash back then.
Yeah.
So you got that cheap deal.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. All right, you mentioned Richard moves on, and of course, during that whole period, I think while you're at The Good Guys, you do marry Derek as well. Now, many people would remember, this is a pretty big wedding.
It was. In Penrith. So I met Derek when I was 48, and we got married when I was turning 50 that week.
Yep.
And so it was kind of, let's just have a 50th birthday party. And then Marie and Charlie from King Henry's Court were close friends with Derek and I, and they said, let's go big. And I did a lot of work for St. Dominic's. My boys went there. And so we went out and we said, could we borrow Winborne for the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, sure.
Yep.
Anything gay. So the little 50 birthday party come wedding was, going to be about 20, 30 people. So about 120 ended up attending.
Yeah.
And we had a virtual race day with the Hong Kong races. We had croquet on the lawn. Derek did a somersault down the aisle. It just was a very different wedding. Very different wedding.
And lots of Penrith people. Big Penrith wedding.
Everyone did a bit of something. Yeah. So it was beautiful. Yeah.
And so not long after that, you do leave The Good Guys. You mentioned Richard moved on. And it was interesting because Richard obviously left Penrith as well. And, it's funny. Like, we all see people come and go.
We do.
Out of Penrith, and many of us stick around.
We do. It's a place to be.
Yeah. Well, you were one who stuck around because you, of course, moved to end up being the CEO of the Penrith CBD Corporation.
I did. I was on the City Centre Association as a volunteer, helping with Penrith Festival once a year. And Owen Rogers and myself were both on that committee. And it was closing down. Council had sort of seen that the model hadn't worked.
Yep.
And so Gladys Reed, who was an amazing woman locally in Penrith, was retiring out.
Yep.
So I came in to close it down, technically, for a couple of months.
Yes, and this is you mentioned it, but the Penrith City Centre Association,
That's right.
At that point, I think offices on High Street, just near the...
Above Subway.
Yeah, above Subway as it is now, yep.
Yeah, 38% empty shops in town. No one really connected well, and so there was a huge opportunity, and I liked those, and I thought this would be great for retirement.
Yep.
I've just married Derek. I'll work a couple of days a week.
Yep.
Yeah, little did I know.
So what happens to save it, I guess? It becomes the Penrith CBD Corporation, but council has a plan to shut it down, obviously just handle things themselves.
Yeah.
What changes?
So we sat down and we worked with council and we kind of, discussed this is what we think could move forward. And they said we're working with consultants at the same time and pretty much was a mirror match. And so they said, let's do this. So we decided it took us a year to get a deed of agreement and confirm everything. So the rate levy that goes through to council is how we are paid for the CBD Corp.
Yep.
And then we created a board, which the council picked. So we wanted some strong players in the city. And then from that point, we had a business plan, triennial plan. and said a few prayers and thought, you know what, we'll start a business from scratch and we'll give it a go.
Yeah, okay. And so tell us what, well, back then, compared to now, but back then, what was the Penrith CBD Corporation tasked to do?
We were tasked to activate the city, connect the city with the local businesses working with, and just build that local economy so the property owners' doors stayed open.
Because there was a, and we still have challenges, of course, but there was certainly a challenge post, and I know everyone talks about it, but post the mall concept that existed in the 80s and early 90s, plus the redevelopment of Westfield, which obviously attracts a lot of shoppers, and you just park in there and you're sweet and you've got your air conditioning and all of that. There was a concern, I guess, that just a stone's throw away are all these small businesses, all these mum and dad businesses in the CBD that just weren't getting the love and care that they needed.
I think it's like, I feel like sometimes I am the centre manager of the CBD instead of Westfield.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like all these mum and dad businesses have given their, 24/7, and it's about the connection that they can make and the support. And I think everyone needs support in business, no matter how big you are and how small. Everyone needs to be connected through. So our aim after the first 12 months was not to put spinning wheels on the street and do lots of promotions and hopefully help, that advertising in the Western Weekender was the only thing that, saved us, that we started to realise it was more than advertising, that we needed to have the whole package in town. And so that's where we started. So working with those businesses.
And from there, things go really well. Vacancy rates obviously improve, and you start doing a lot of events and festivals, which you're still doing today, taking up plenty of your time. But the events and festival side of it really helped to bring the CBD back to life, I guess, along with a million other things along the way. Triangle Park came along, and there was just obviously the types of businesses have helped as well, but there seemed to be, through that sort of that next little period, a real boost for the CBD.
I think we were blessed. Like that first couple of years, the activation really changed things, and it introduced that local businesses within the Penrith LGA could actually be part and connect into the city as well. So I think that connect in, connect out makes a difference. So working with those guys and realising that, there was a next step that we had to take. So business improvements came on board then with us. And so, if you just clean those windows or you paint that building, that will make a difference. So slowly we work with the property owners and council, and, we've seen a lot of changes over the years. And council reinvested all that money into the main street. And that, again, gave us another big lift up, because the amount of money that council invested back in proved that the city was a lovely place to stay. And then we've got all these young entrepreneurs that decided to give it a go. The Chechos, the Pina Picasso. Once that started to happen, the evolution of new business started to come through the city, and we were there to welcome them.
Yeah, because I guess it does come down to the type of businesses a lot of times, and as luck has had it, I guess, in some ways, there's almost a triangle of sort of restaurants and bars get created, and that brings people in, and then the shops around it get sort of benefits from that as well, I guess.
Absolutely. The precincts have changed so much just in the 10 years, but every time you look back, you think there's so much more we'd like, and I think that's it, and Penrith is passionate about staying local. Shopping local, dining local. Let's face it, none of us want to drive to the city if we don't have to. So.
And that part's dramatically changed as well. You mentioned, how different things were growing up here. But even when I was sort of growing up in that sort of 90s period in Penrith, you just always saw Parramatta or the city as where you had to go to do shopping or to even go out to dinner beyond just a steakhouse or something like that. That's
absolutely,
that's been a big change of what you've helped to implement as well.
Absolutely. Look at you said the steakhouse.
Yeah.
That was the only restaurant we had at the river. Look at the river now. Yeah. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. And what about the challenges that have happened through your time? There's obviously been a lot of them, but COVID was obviously a pretty big one. So we all know how COVID impacted our own businesses or individuals and all of those things with lockdowns. But for the CBD, it kind of just put the brakes on all the momentum.
It did, it did. But Troy, we stayed open. Everyone else closed.
Yeah.
We worked with one of the charities among the Penrith Community Kitchen, the federal government and state government, so to ensure people had food. which was a very important thing. And the rest of the day, we worked with businesses via phones and Zooms to reinvent the wheel. And so that's when takeaway came through and opportunities that we could help them with. So we spent a lot of our funding back in that 2 years to ensure that everyone could stay open. And we're probably one of the better CBDs across New South Wales that survive COVID.
Yeah, and bounce back pretty well.
Absolutely bounce back.
Did you expect, you've been there 12 years now, still in the role, did you expect that you would be there 12 years?
Absolutely not. No, I thought this was the retirement thing, but yeah, it's 6 days a week sometimes.
Yeah.
But love it. The challenge, the passion that people have in Penrith to, you know, grow, and now with Western Sydney, you know, and the airport, you just want to be around to see that.
Yeah.
So I just can't believe the enthusiasm that we have in the city and the businesses that we're, you know, now enticing. It's an exciting journey and one I don't want to stop.
And of course, what people might not know is all those events that, you know, a lot of people attend in the CBD, the Penrith Festival events and the tree lighting, of course, that's
held
each
soon.
November. Yep. You're behind them. The CBD Corp is behind those events. So how important has the events been to attracting people?
I think if you look at our events, because our funding is set, so we, you know, we're kind of the poor cousin.
Yeah.
but we like Western Weekender, major sponsor. So it's about sponsoring and involving local business. And we're blessed at the amount of local businesses that want to get involved. So without their support, we wouldn't be able to do things. And I think it's so important that we continue growing and putting on more strategic, you know, opportunities for local businesses. So the events is great for the community. And I think having free, you know, things like the Real Festival a couple of weeks back, we had over 50,000 people in the area.
Yeah.
And that is amazing for our local businesses because it gives the economy such a, you know, a huge advantage. During tough times at the moment too.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are tough out there.
I think people are almost surprised when they go to these events at the quality of them because it's happening in their backyard that they haven't necessarily been used to over the years. Or those who grew up in Penrith who now have kids in Penrith are seeing what a difference it is for their kids.
I think it's, and, you know, I just believe Penrith has it and we can. And I think that's what everyone needs to do. We do have these amazing events and council is investing a lot of money to bring them out. And I think, you know, the CBD Corp, our events sometimes are smaller events. And I know St Mary's Town Centre have smaller events, but they're so needed and they're free.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of families out there that need that opportunity.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So if you can spend the money in the cafes and the restaurants and the kids get their free face painting and the characters roaming around, you know, Paw Studio we rely a lot on and work with strongly and a lot of the dance schools and the amount of opportunity that brings them, they get experience on stages. You know, you don't get that everywhere else.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
There's a lot of opportunities.
Now, through this role and through your other roles as well, you've become pretty involved in charities in Penrith and a few in particular, but Penrith Community Kitchen is one that is pretty close to your heart. So how did your involvement with that start?
So I met Margaret Goodridge, who was a driver of the kitchen back then. About 16 years I've been connected since the Good Guys.
Yeah.
And she walked in, she said, "You're going to take over from me." And I was like, "Yeah, no, I don't think so." I'm working. And I was just in awe of what she did. I remember my kids were small and we used to, you know, go down and help feed the homeless because St Dominic's was all about community and giving back.
Yep.
And then virtually it just went from there. She was, you know, aging and not well, and I just fell into the role.
Yeah.
And love it, absolutely love it.
And tell us about Penrith Community Kitchen, what it does and its impact.
So the kitchen has been going 25 years this year, actually. And it started with a small church group and a couple of the wives passed away and the husbands didn't know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So then a group of women got together and said, you know what, we don't want anyone to go hungry in Penrith. And that today is still our absolute message that we get out there. So we cook 5 days a week, Monday to Friday for lunch every day except public holidays. We don't close during Christmas, except for the few public holidays. We also have relief hampers of food at any time and plus frozen meals. So quite often we work with domestic violence or schools could ring. We've just been given a grant from federal government to put a fridge and a pantry in 17 local schools.
Okay.
So that breakfast, lunch and snacks will be available so children can concentrate and learn at school, but not go hungry.
Has the type of people coming into the kitchen changed in that 16 years? Have you noticed anything there?
I think obviously during COVID, we saw elderly, which really brought to the business side of awareness that technology is a challenge.
Yeah.
So they had money, they couldn't shop because they didn't know how. So that really changed that
period. I remember was, you know, QR codes are becoming, you need to scan in places, and it was a challenge, as you mentioned, for people in our community who have got by not being tech savvy before, and suddenly it was being forced upon them. Everything you do is tech. You've got to order your shopping online, or you've got to do this online, you can order takeaway online, scan in everywhere. It was tough.
We worked with our mayor during that time, and Trish Hitchens and I showed that many people how to use a phone, use an iPad.
Yeah.
We'd go to the shops and pick up their, you know, their chemist things and bits and pieces. And then we had boundaries, so we'd be hooking up with the police and other friends we knew, and we'd be swapping over boundaries and trying to stay compliant. So it was a real challenge, but it was an eye-opener. And I think the other time that we've seen a customer change is right now. So at the moment, we've got people that are working two jobs, and because things are so hard in our economy with the increasing costs, they're actually coming and asking for any extra food so that they don't have to spend that $200 or $300 in Coles or Woolies. Okay.
PCYC, you also are involved there. So
same building,
a bit more recent, but how did that come about?
Same building. They didn't connect. The kitchen and PCYC were living in the same building and not connecting.
Yeah.
And we saw an opportunity. And they hadn't had a committee for several years. And so over the last couple of years, we've pulled one together. And we've got Mike from Outback Steakhouse and Tim from Paul Studio. It's just imagine. Karen Quinn from Luke Prittis Foundation, Robert from Benchmark. So it's a real diverse little group, and we've all got a little way we go. But it's, you know, people think PCYC is just for those troubled children, and it's so much more. During school holidays, we have 500 kids in that 2 weeks in school holidays. Yeah, wow. They have lots of fun in that big building.
Yeah. And the other big event that you've been involved in, of course, is Pink Up Penrith with the McGrath Foundation. So this has been running about 6 years now. Tell us how that first came about. I don't take you as a cricket fan, despite that's where the McGrath Foundation's roots lie. So how did it come about that you became involved?
Thanks for getting me embarrassed. So virtually I got a call one day from Tracy Bevan. And I think Wayne Wilmington actually sent them my way. And they were looking for someone to, they wanted to start Pink Up Your Town First Metro. So they said, if someone can drive it through, you know, it'll be gay.
Yeah.
So I said, thanks, Tracy. Thanks for the call. Send me an email. Happy to help the charity, blah, blah, blah. Just need to know a bit more. She rang me back 15 minutes later and said, do you know who I am? And I'm like, no bloody clue. Do you follow the cricket? And I'm like, no, I follow the Panthers. So we had this funny conversation, and she was cracking up. She was laughing at me. She says, do you know the pink test? And I'm like, oh, yeah, when they do the breast cancer thing in January. She goes, right, bingo, we've hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
So that's how we started. And then I went back to the board and I said, look, I've got this opportunity with McGrath Foundation. I have no idea about cricket. What do you think, guys? And after they all got very embarrassed,
on your behalf?
Yeah. On my behalf. You were talking to Michael Bevan's wife, and you didn't. Oh my God, Glenn McGrath. So I was like, yeah, they're all fine now. They're good friends. So that's kind of how Pink Up started. And year one, we had no idea, and we were the first metro across New South Wales.
Yep.
And Mudgee had done such an awesome job. There's a guy out there called Hugh Bateman, and he is just brilliant. He rode a pink tractor from Mudgee to Sydney and back.
Yeah, wow.
So raised $300,000, and hence Pink Up Your Town started. So an amazing guy, and they're still doing amazing work out at Mudgee. So that's kind of how we started. First year, I think we raised about $30,000, had quite a few on the committee, but we all kind of didn't know what we were doing, how we're going to do it. And year six this year, we've just got four breast care nurses at Nepean. We had none when we started. And
that's someone, a breast care nurse is someone who, if you're diagnosed with breast cancer, sort of is with you on that whole health journey.
100%. That follows. The family, it's all free. That's the most important part.
Yep.
But they're 24/7. So if your wife was diagnosed, you could ring because you're confused and you want to help her and she's not well, mm-hmm. or you've been to the doctor and you have no idea what the wording is. They help you. They hold your hand. They go to the appointments with you. They're there to do whatever's needed,
yeah.
to support you and your family through that whole journey.
Yeah, excellent. And you've raised more than $250,000 during that time through a whole bunch of initiatives. There's high teas, and as businesses that get involved, obviously, and turn things pink, basically, is the
absolutely.
Is
the it's concept. Not me. It's everyone else.
Yeah.
I think when I got my OAM, I said the same thing. It's not about what I've done. It's about how many people have helped me along the way, and that support, and just even the Dragon Boat ladies that have all had cancer and are still fighting through cancer.
Yeah.
Turn up at these events, and they love it. They love that connection back in as well, and all the local businesses that do so many things these days.
I was going to mention your OAM, Order of Australia Medal. Now, you're not someone who likes to talk about yourself. I know that, which is, you know, here you are doing it for more than half an hour.
I know.
But that honour comes about as a result, obviously, of the charity work and your service to Penrith in general. How did you find out that you were going to get an OAM? What was the process?
I actually had a phone call because I got an email and I thought it was spam.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
So it's quite funny. But Trish Hitchens and Maurice Payne,
yeah.
And Elizabeth and Derek sort of got behind my back and nominated,
okay.
Which was during that COVID time, which was beautiful. Yeah. And that's how I found out. So
yeah. And what did that honour feel like?
It was crap. Well, my children said it was old age mum. So, but apart from that, they were pretty chuffed too, which was lovely. But yeah, I think it was recognition that I wanted to share with everyone that it helped.
Yeah.
Because everyone does help.
Mm. And it's a good pat on the back, or a pretty big pat on the back, but a good pat on the back for all the work you do, I guess, that you feel like it's been recognised and honoured. So,
yeah. It's lovely.
It's a great achievement. What about the future? Where do you see, you know, you're in the midst of the Penrith CBD. There's an airport on our doorstep, of course, in the next couple of years. We're also seeing the expansion of Penrith in terms of other pockets of business areas popping up. Nepean Business Park is only a couple of years away. But your CBD patch, where do you see the next couple of years for Penrith?
I think it's about now the experience and the work that the local businesses want to put in to be achieve that sense of Penrith is the place.
Yep.
And we're getting there. And I think that's it. Us, personally, I think we've got to support that. And it's more about the workshops that we can continue to offer, the credentials of people that we can bring out here to introduce them into Penrith.
Yeah.
And it's about how we get Penrith out to the wider Western Sydney area, that we are the place to come visit. And I think that is the next challenge. The tourism side, that connection that we make with the airport, don't get on a metro and head to the city. How do we put all that in and collaborate together as a business area? And I don't think the CBD is a separate area. I think we're part of the bigger package.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's when we talk Penrith. And I think we have got this opportunity for strength, for growth, but we need to enhance that everyone comes on that ride with us.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest challenge that Penrith faces moving forward?
I think it's we've got to back ourselves. Sometimes I listen to people and they go, but it's just Penrith.
Mm.
And I think we're not. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, absolutely, that was the conversation we all had. But we've got it right here. And I'm proud that my grandkids are going to grow up in a great area.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. I think we've got to back ourselves. And you can do it. And we do have the experience. We've got amazing people that work here. The businesses that are coming through are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, we used to go to Parramatta or City to get that great accountant or financial planner or, you know, fantastic restaurant. So it's not just about cafes and restaurants. It's about all the services that have come into the area.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about you? How long do you think you'll be hanging around at the CBD Corporation for, from the job that you were going to retire from 12 years ago?
Yeah, everyone keeps asking me that question. I think at least another 2, 3, 4. Yeah, okay, I love it. I'm passionate. And if I can still do the job well, then I'd love the opportunity to continue.
You just hope that there's good weather, because those events that get cancelled from weather, and there's been a few, they must be the bane of your existence.
I know. I look at that big Christmas tree we put up every year and I think, here we go. Is it going to rain? Is it going to be windy? But, you know, we do our best with our engineers and, I think it's, you know, you want to have those experiences. You want to have children's faces light up and everyone enjoy that time at Christmas. So,
Well, the question we always ask to wrap things up, and not a good question for someone who doesn't like to talk about themselves, but how would Gay Hawthorne like to be remembered in Penrith?
Someone who gave back. How about that?
Simple as that. There you go.
Simple.
Good one. Well, Gay, look, you've had a great journey in Penrith, really passionate about living here and enjoying all that it has to offer, and done a fantastic job in the business and community sectors. So thank you for joining us, and all the best for the future.
Thanks, Troy.
And I really hope you enjoyed our chat. On the Record is produced by The Western Weekender. To hear future episodes, search Western Weekender wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure you hit subscribe. Check out westernweekender.com.au and we will see you next time. Thank you.